What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Let's Talk Divots podcast. We are your women's professional golf podcast from people who walk inside the ropes on the LPGA Tour. My name's Casey Johnson, a 13-year PGA Canada member who's a caddy inside the ropes now, walking with Kelly Tan, and I'm joined by the jack of all trades, Captain Ronnie Dunn, working the boom mic this week with the Golf Channel and also Super Stroke Rep. Putting arc inside the ropes, and we are excited about this one. It is major week. First of all, go ahead. We are at Let's Talk Divots on all social media platforms. Give us a like, give us a follow. Our mission is to grow the game of golf. We are growing not only golf, but women's golf, and that's our mission, and we just want you to spread the love. If you enjoy this show, share it with a friend, find us on social media, like it, comment, all that good stuff, a little call to action for you guys, and it's just going to really help us. We've already been broadcasting around 40 countries on the planet, and we just want to continue to grow that. So at Let's Talk Divots on all social media platforms, and I will pick back up on Major Week. Such a great week here in the desert. Major, there's five majors in the LPGA golf, and this one's normally played in March, but here we are in the desert heat of September. And my goodness, was it hot out there. Not only was it hot in the final group today, but it was hot in the 120 degree Fahrenheit heat that we were experiencing all week, and so much more. We're going to get into all this, but I guess I'm going to just say hello. What's up to Ronnie. Ronnie, what's up, bro?
Hey now, right here, beautiful Rancho Mirage. I love the desert out here. Palm Springs is beautiful, Southern California, but man, how about the weather? How about Monday morning? You could not see maybe 2 miles. Sun was just blocked out by the fires going on, and God forbid everybody out there with its houses in jeopardy. I feel for you guys. I hope you can get out of there, but lots of fires inside California, and air quality here very poor.
The weather is an absolute news. Let's get into this a little bit later. Let's get right into the golf. Like I said, made for TV. We had Nelly, Brooke, and Lexi, not all in the final group, but in the last two pairings, within a couple shots of the lead. It was just, made for American TV anyway. Obviously, there was some other players contending in there, but we ended up with a three-hole playoff coming down the stretch, and I don't know what you caught out there on your boom mic, Ronnie.
It was a three-person playoff, yeah. Three girls went up to it. South Korea was involved, America was involved, and Canada was involved, so
yeah,
they cover the whole gamut there.
I mean, before we get into the playoff, just watching down the stretch there, it was kind of like a two-horse race there with Brooke and Nelly, until the last few holes there. Brooke double bogeyed hole 13, which, you know what, the story of the week here is I thought the scores would be a little bit not so low, I guess, so to speak. It seemed to...
Yeah, you were calling for single digits, and we got up there 15 under, wasn't it?
Yeah, I was thinking, high singles, nine. The rough was just so penalizing there, but chatting to a few of the guys, I think a few of the caddies, I think, they cut it, and, you did draw a few better lies, and you know what? I just forget how good these girls are, and they just drive it so damn straight. Like, day one, Kelly Tan and I, she missed one fairway and it was by like an inch, So you go out there and you hit 13 out of 14 fairways, you're going to hit some greens, and the greens, they're relatively small and they're in such perfect shape that you're going to make some putts. They're like pool tables out there. They were great speed. So drive the ball good. You're going to make some birdies, and the ladies sure showcased that this week.
Well, of course, definitely got tough as the week went on. After day one, Nelly was leading at 8 under par. Day two, her first 36-hole lead ever in an LPGA, 11 under par. And then today, I think 15, she ended up winning. So it definitely got tough. But the green started green at the beginning of the week. By the end of the week, brown. But so smooth and so like a pool table.
Well, I'll just give you a little story of why that happens. And, obviously golf courses can manipulate the scores for sure. It started out, obviously Nelly ripped it up. We had a good first couple rounds in there as well. And then, they stop watering. They start burning it out. They firm it up because, they got to protect the field a little bit. They got to protect the score. They don't want to. It is a major championship. And I think they could have played it a little bit more difficult from the beginning. But, you know, I think with the time of year and the grass, they just were a little bit uneasy, especially with all the balls sitting down before we teed it up in the actual tournament. So they kind of burnt it out and let the greens go a little bit firm wise. And that's why you didn't see as crazy scores come the weekend.
Yeah. The A&A started out on 7:15. Kelly Tam from Malaysia hit the first ball of the second major of the season here. It was, you guys had a great start. You were 4 under after the first wave in the morning, but then Nelly came and kind of put you guys, I think, maybe even fourth place, but still that's a pretty good finish after day one. Got to be positive about that.
Oh, man, we had a blast. We were playing the Xiyu Lin, goes by the name of Janet with her English name, and we were 8 under best ball on the front nine.
Yeah, you guys were smoking it out there. It was incredible.
I think a Dow team membership was formed on that nine. They're like, we were best ball 8 under. We should play the Dow together. I'm like, I totally second that call. You should play the Dow together. But it was a lot of fun out there. Xiyu Lin had it to 5 or 6 under at one point, and you know, had a bit of a tough coming down the stretch there. Yeah, a lot of fun out there on day one for sure.
Yeah, not to blow past Friday too much, but what 105 girls started the week. 28 missed the cut, that's it, and 76 or so finished up over the weekend. That was pretty, you know, incredible. That was kind of weird, actually.
I'm gonna call that out. You know, only 105 players teed it up. Jenny Shin withdrew, so we're down to 104. You got a half a dozen amateurs in there, and the cut was still 70 in ties. I mean, like, there's only 28 players missed the cut. Like, you got to drop that to 60. The pots aren't lucrative enough as it is out here. I think you got to take away 40 of the field, and just a bit of a miss, in my opinion. I don't know how it normally is, but...
Yeah, that's actually a pretty good call. Make the cut down a little bit lower so the girls are making a little bit more money, make them out there or try a little bit harder to make the weekend.
Oh, I mean, 100%, it's a major, man. You know,
$3.1 million they played for this week.
And you just let all those other people back in there, plus four ended up getting in. And, you know, again, just cutting 28 people. Normally, it's 144 from 152 to start.
That's right.
And you're down to 70 in ties, you know. So, anyway, I don't know how they normally do it. I'm new to this women's golf thing here, but it is what it is. But I think it could be maybe revisited.
Yeah, it's usually 70s. Or within 10 shots, but obviously Nelly was at 11 under and the cut was at 4 over. So that's a pretty big difference, pretty big gap right there. But yeah, 28 girls went home without a paycheck and the other 77 went on for the weekend, 76.
Boom, so back to golf. Yeah, so Brooke doubles 13 and Nelly birdies the next hole to take a 2-up lead coming down the stretch on hole 15. But the big story, oh, and Brooke birdied hole 15. I'm mixing up my holes a little bit here. The big story, Miriam Lee.
Oh yeah. That is a big one. That is a big one. What you go? She went birdie, bogey, eagle on 18th to get into a playoff with Brooke and who was our other girl in there? Oh, Nelly.
Brooke and Nelly. But yeah, birdie, and she chipped in 3 times in that final round. But
talk about that eagle, though. Let's talk about the wall back there.
Oh, my God, the wall. If anybody's following women's golf and watching this A&A live, the wall, normally there's lots of grandstands, and there's a big island green, big enough to put a grandstand at the back behind the green, real, real famous, you know, Poppy's Pond and all that jazz. But I guess they just felt the need to put the wall back there.
They wanted signage. They wanted A&A advertised. They had a huge wall, must have been 14 feet tall by 70, 80 feet long, the whole island. It could have made it look like an island, but the play was to hit it in what would have been the grandstand, just bank it off that wall and get a drop and chip it from there. And a lot of the girls were playing that shot.
So just, and again, from caddy's perspective, from player perspective, like, you're coming into that. It's, they put the tee up two of the days it's not reachable. Nobody's reaching it, okay? There might be, you know, Lexi, I heard, took a stab at it, went in the water, but maybe there's like a you know, one handful of girls type deal. But when they move the tee up, super reachable. But it totally decided the championship right down to Miriam Lee, Brooke. Nelly had to lay up in regulation, but they're just exactly like, it's like, okay, we have 200 to clear. Well, let's take the extra club and just smash it into that back wall.
Right off the backboard, just like basketball, right off the backboard and see what happens. I mean, it was a joke. It totally, for a major, they could have made that look like a real island, make it challenging. It's a lot more photogenic and just beautiful. They still could have put a signage up, but that was the play, to bank it off the wall and see what happens. But it was still pretty exciting, though, to birdie, bogey, eagle, to get into a playoff. Miriam deserves it.
Yeah, classic, Ron. She stole it. You know, and not taken away from Miriam. Everybody had the wall to play with. I just still think it was a bogey on the LPGA's part.
It definitely was.
To put that there.
A couple bogeys this week.
That's all anybody's going to be talking about. And that's unfortunate, because Miriam Lee played great. She chipped in three times, obviously finished with that eagle. But, you know, it's a major championship, one of the top five tournaments of the year. And just coveted Dinah Shore, and, you know, to just have that, to not have to hit a golf shot, that's the thing. That's a very good golf shot, and it's super achievable. We did it twice. Twice we hit the green without banking it off there this week. And, you know, it's all about control. You got to get your number covered. It's not super dry, it's super dry out there. You have to hit a golf shot, and that's what golf should be, especially coming down into a major championship. Twitter's blowing up all on this, and it's super unfortunate, because the spotlight should be on Miriam Lee and jumping in Poppy's pond.
Yeah, that's a great finishing hole. That's a beautiful hole. It's picturesque. It brings eagle into play. It's short. Girls can go for it in two. It is a wonderful finishing hole. The 49th year of the ANA, and Miriam Lee jumped in the pond.
Yeah, Canadian Brook couldn't get it done. Nelly couldn't get it
done. Oh, she was right there, though, all day, back and forth. Actually, back and forth with Nelly. Nelly Brook. And then all of a sudden, Miriam comes up with, 200 in the last three holes to steal the tournament.
You know what? Those two are going to have some more chances moving forward. And how about me last week in the podcast playing with Brooke and saying, I didn't like what I saw in her game. I don't think she's got it this week. So there she was in a playoff. And Nelly Korda, I mean, I haven't watched her play a bunch, but I was surprised. She was 15 yards past Brooke off the tee. That girl drives the golf ball, man.
Yeah, she is long. She is long, and she's got a good attitude, unlike her sister. Jessica missed a cut. She was 5 over, and she had some bad double bogeys there towards the end. But she's a very volatile player. And, I had different language going on today. I had who was in my group today? It was the Mexican girl. What is her name?
Fosse?
No.
Gabby Lopez?
No. Maria. What is her name? Maria Fernandez Torres. Jorge's the caddy. So they're talking Spanish. Then I had Rose Zhang, the amateur, won the U.S. Amateur Open. She was in my group, and they're talking Chinese. And then I had Stacey Lewis. And Stacey Lewis was nothing but talent today. She played 4 under, I think, today. But I'm right next to her caddy. They're calling, I'm going to hit at this window. I'm going to hit at that chimney on the house. And, man, I would be hit. I go for the pin all the time. Pin. But she's all chimney, and sure enough, she doesn't hit the chimney. I'm just like amazed how good these women are.
But that's normal for like amateur golfers. Typically, if I steered in my coaching days, if I took one of my students out there and actually just picked all their clubs for them and told them where to aim, I could usually shave 5 shots off. Depending where their 100%. Handicap is, right? But at the pin, you're not looking your short side. Like, we're never aiming at the pin out there. I think we aimed at maybe 3 or 4 flags all day today. It's always just like, what's your line? A few yards right, or like you said, the chimney. And you got to pick a target. You got to look at your surroundings. And any amateur golfers out there, if you aimed for the center of all the greens, you'd probably be better off.
Yeah, Ashley Buhai, she was on a pod earlier, and she told us she's got red light, green light, yellow light. She knows when to go for it, when not to. I'm a green light all the time. But I learned so much today watching Stacy out there. Caddy was calling. Stacy wanted to put a wedge up there, and the caddy said, no, just bump it into the hill. And they went with that shot. She put it 2 feet from the hole from about 40 yards. Just amazing, amazing golf.
Ron's a green light special.
That's right, all the time. It's all I go for. Driver, driver, driver.
Okay, well, while we're on the bogey train, let's keep going.
The carts.
The heat. First of all, this was an incredible temperature. Earlier in the week was
it's not extreme. As bad as they predicted.
Earlier in the week, Sunday, Monday was 50 degrees. Okay, that was nasty. But yes, it got.
That's 50 Celsius for the Americans out there.
Sorry, yeah, 120. But yeah, it dipped down. We were a little over 100 today, something like that. And pretty much all week, and even Thursday, Friday was super manageable, high 90s type deal.
Yeah, and the desert is cold overnight. It was 72, just like the par on the course here, 72 in the morning when you guys teed off on Thursday, and then it got up to like 99, something like that. It didn't even break 100, but today I think it topped out about 106, something like that. But there was little
hot,
breeze,
Yeah, very trust hot. Me, I'm carrying the bag. It's friggin' hot out there.
Yeah, no breeze going on. Little breeze if you. But the carts. Let's talk about the carts. Carts were a joke out there. The caddies were allowed to ride in the carts. Players could not ride in the carts. Maybe some of the greens from 17 to 18, which is about 125 yard walk, they got allowed to get
just one spot. They can sit in the cart if they wanted, but they're not. If the cart moves, it's a penalty. So you never see anybody sitting in it or leaning up against it because they just would never take that chance. But yeah, the carts, caddies, quite a few of them taking them.
Yeah, I was with Rose Zhang today, and her caddy is her dad. She's 17 years old. She's from Irvine, California.
Probably can't even drive the cart.
Still in high school, this girl is, and she made top 10. I think she finished tied for eighth today, maybe. She beat Gabriela Reese. There was six amateurs started the week, five made the cut. That's the biggest number in a long time for a major.
Yeah, so I just think that they could have handled it a little bit different. You know, I think it was either everybody, it's going to be this hot out, so we're taking carts or we're not taking carts. No option. It just was a little wishy-washy out there. I don't know how it looked on TV, but just a little bit circusy.
Oh, it was lame. It was totally lame. Zhang's dad, you know, doesn't speak much English. Chinese out there most of the time, but one of the girls in our, I don't really want to call her out, but one of the girls in our group actually had the official come over and talk to him because he was parking in the through line of her putts. He was moving because he had the cart back 100 yards from the green, and I'll tell you who it was. Stacey Lewis was lining up an eagle putt, and she's getting ready to ride over the ball, and then he starts moving the cart, so she has to back off. That was on the second hole, and then the eighth hole, she called the official over, and the official had a little talk with the guy, and from then on, he was a little bit more conscientious, but even in her Rose's swing, right before impact, he's chattering something. I was on the mic right there, and I couldn't understand what they were saying, obviously, but they spoke Chinese the whole time. But just nonstop, do this, do that, do this. And then Stacy apologized to Rose. I'm sorry about that, calling out your dad. And Rose said, no problem, he's not the greatest caddy. And, you know, it was interesting to be out there. But, yeah, the carts were a joke. I understand they did it for the heat. They even gave the boom mic guys. We could have got carts, I think it was Friday, but then they were racing back to get the carts, and they banned them for the weekend for us. But the weather wasn't – I mean, I'm not carrying a 50-pound bag.
You know what? And, again, I was talking to Brett Ollie, Daniel Kang's caddy, and, you know – it was hot. Like, I guess Danielle's like, you know, you're a little sluggish today. You know, what's going on? And he's just like, flat out, it's friggin' hot out here. And I was in the same boat. But you know what? And I guess everybody could have taken carts. We felt like we took carts in the practice round, but we just thought it might throw off the rhythm of what we're used to doing. But, you know, it's just a little bit of a, I don't know, man. It's just different. It all of a sudden the playing field isn't the same. You know,
I agree. It's all or nothing. You should have them or don't have them. It's 42 Celsius out there. 107 it was out there, and it was manageable. You know,
it was manageable, man. This is what we do. This
is a major. It's a major. You don't let people have carts. It was a circus.
You don't put bank shot walls behind the green, and you don't have carts. This is a major friggin' championship. I mean, in the U.S. Open last year in South Carolina, it was hotter than this with the humidity.
No, much hotter. Much hotter last time by far. This dry heat out here. It was just Monday was about the most miserable day because the cloud cover kept the humidity down. The bugs were out. But in all honesty, it wasn't like they made it out to be. They were talking 107. You know, it was 107, but it didn't feel like 107. But
yeah, it is what it is. I don't know.
But the golf course was just, like I said, the green started out green. By the end of the day, today it was brown. I was out rolling some wires while the playoff was going on. Then they turned the sprinklers on. The whole course was being watered. I don't think they turned it on once. The rough was like a bird's nest, that Bermuda grass. When the ball dropped down, boom, it was gone. These girls, I saw girls top the ball maybe 30 yards. I've never seen more bad shots, like amateur shots, from pros today than even in your group. I think it was on Saturday, the par 3 17th hole. None of you girls made the green. And then Nina Matz-Kortson was probably 40 yards short of the green.
That was from the tee box. That was just a flat-out chunk. That wasn't
unbelievable.
From the rough.
That was from a tee box. That was from the tee box.
Oh, man. But, no, you know, that rough gobbles it up. And, again, you see it on the men's tour, man. You know, you'll see this week at the U.S. Open. That rush is, so the rough is going to be double that. But the difference is obviously, I mean, Brooks' clubhead speed I saw on TV today with her driver was 103. You got some of those men that are up at 130, right? So you got 30 miles an hour more speed coming through. So they're just able to advance it better. Where if one of those balls is sitting down and you're 200 yards to the green, which on some of these par fours, you know, we're 190 coming in there. And if you're in the rough, you just got no chance. You got to wedge it out. And that's why you're seeing those. They look like top shots, Ron, but they're probably just like, they're knuckleballs, you know, they just can't get enough on it. And it's flying like, you know, 80 yards and just kind of tumbling down there.
Yeah, poor Rose Yang. She started out with the bogey today. She ended up getting back to her number where she started the day at 8 under par. She was the low am. She top 10. She beat Gabrielle Ruffles, who's a...
She did not top 10. I'm going to round out the top 10 right now. Miriam Lee, obviously. Brooke Nelly, 1, 2, 3. Lexi Thompson, 4th. Stacey Lewis, Lydia Ko, Minji Lee. I played with Minji today. Man, that... I'm a huge fan all of a sudden. Great golf swing. Great person, awesome to talk to. Nasa Hatoka, Mel Reed, and Catherine Kirk rounding out the top 10.
That's right. Here we go. Zhang was tied for 11 with Moran Flores.
And who did she Maria. Beat in the U.S. amateur? Gabrielle Ruffles, who finished one shot back of that at 7
T15.
Under. Yeah, so pretty good, strong showing for the amateurs. Happy to see that up there because we were T37, so that made our paycheck just a little bit nicer, not having to give them any money.
They're not taking their money right now. Zhang is committed to Stanford next year. She graduates high school this year out of Irvine, and she's going to be somebody to play with. Stacey Lewis was talking to her, kind of looked like a mentor out there and helping her out, and just very friendly girl. And we talked a little bit going down the fairways, but yeah, her dad in the cart, that was definitely a joke.
Hold on to that. Yeah, there'll be much more in sponsorship dollars 3 or 4 years from now. You're finishing top 15 in a major moving forward. I think the future could be bright.
I can't imagine she goes 4 years in college. I'll give her 2 years in college. She'll be making a paycheck out here in the LPGA.
Yeah, I don't. I mean, it just all boils down to in that regard, like, you know, how much people end up valuing education, et cetera, et cetera. But most of those girls seem to, well, she is Asian, so
it kind of depends on where they come from in their family. If their family has money, they might stay out in college, but if they don't and they need to make a paycheck, just like Tony Finau, he came out 17, 18, he was a pro, and, you know, he's the breadwinner, his whole family, and boy, he's got a big family.
Yeah, the Utah, he's got like 7 or 8 kids up there. Who won the PGA event this week?
Oh, I didn't even look. I'm not even sure. I don't follow the guys.
I'm Googling it, man. You don't follow the guys?
Not as much as I used to. I used to follow them all the time. Then I fell in love with the ladies probably 10 years ago, and I've pretty basically just, you know, I do record them.
Oh, Stuart Sinkman.
Oh, I heard that. Unbelievable. When I was driving over here.
How good is that? How old is he?
He's not 50 yet. He's in his high 40s probably.
What a good win. I'm so super stoked for that. That's popular.
Yeah, that's very popular. He's a real nice guy.
What, do you know him personally?
Well, I've talked to him. My ex-wife would go out and she volunteers at Farmers, and she became friends with him. And, you know, when he takes his hat off, he's totally bald, white as white gets, but he's got that little half dome tan line in the back where his hat opens up. But yeah, Stuart's a good guy.
It's cool. Well, where are we heading next, Ronnie?
We are going up to Portland I don't even know if we'll make it to Portland. That place is on fire. They're still rioting after the Black Lives Matter. 100 days going on of riots up there, but real
more apocalypse now, bro.
More importantly is the weather up there. It's going to be the air quality is hazardous. It's not just bad quality, but hazardous air quality.
Yeah, you know, I'm no stranger to wildfire smoke just coming from where I live. But I saw some videos on online today. And it looks savage up there. I've played in that weather in the Okanagan and Kelowna, British Columbia. We've, you know, had some fires ravaged through there where you can't see the ball finish due to the smoke. And I guarantee looking at those videos, it's the same thing. Apparently, they're calling for some wind to kind of move through and clear things out. I got a couple emails over the last couple days, but I guess we're just going to have to see. I'm paraphrasing from an email about something that I know absolutely nothing about, because I guess there's some people that are pretty concerned about the air quality. We have full intention to play the Cambia Portland Classic. Shout out to Cambia, my hat sponsor, and the sponsor of the tournament next week. But maybe it's, and go ahead, somebody can correct me on this, 300 IBLs or whatever the metric is. If it's over that, then they might question playing it. But as of right now, we fully intend on playing in Portland, and hopefully the right wind comes in there and kicks it up. And I know where we're talking about playing golf when there's been people that have perished and, you know, houses and a lot of sad stuff. But I know from this golf tournament, some good will come and some charity dollars will be raised, hopefully for some good causes of the city and the people of Portland.
Yeah, the air quality here definitely picked up. Like I said earlier, Monday, you could not see the mountains and they were only 2 or 3 miles out. But Tuesday morning, I rolled out of my rack, looked out my RV, looked at the mountains, and it was beautiful. Palm Springs day, blue skies. You could see the tramway, the mountains, the San Gabriel Mountains. It's just a beautiful, beautiful little valley. Coachella Valley is where Rancho Mirage is. Yeah, 49th year of ANA. Course was built in 1970. First time 1972, ANA played there. Poppy's Pond game popular with Amy Alcott in 1988. But Miriam Lee, give it up to her again. Birdie, bogey, eagle off the backboard. Chips it in, goes to a three-lady playoff. I didn't really see what happened in the playoff, though. I know she did win it on a birdie on the very first playoff hole.
Bank shot off the wall, bro.
Again, look at that. Play the carom.
Yeah, I know you're saying beautiful valley, but it's going to be a whole lot more beautiful in April when we're back here, and it's a whole lot less heat. And just a shout-out to Mike Walker and his team again at the golf course there at Mission Hills. He got me out again on the Pete Dye golf course following our round on Thursday, and that is a difficult golf course if you ever get a chance to play. Just a little quick story, coming off of 73 on the tournament course on Sunday, myself and Dusty Lattery, Kelly Tan's partner, we ran out of balls by the ninth hole. We had one ball left, and we said, well, let's see how far we get before we one ball each left, sorry, before we have to go in. And we ended up making it all the way to 18, but not without a few close calls and maybe aiming a little bit out of trouble off the tee in a few instances. So
yeah, how about Jin Young Ko not even showing up to defend her title, though? None of these girls are, you know, not many are coming over here. I don't know that the field wasn't as deep as it was. There were seven past champions in here, jumped in the pond before, so it was still pretty deep. And like I said,
2020, bro.
Yeah, that's right. 2020 2.0, I guess, but it's coming around. We're almost to the end of the year here. But where do we go after Portland? Portland's next week, then we got a week off. That's right. They canceled the Carlsbad Kia Classic because the big sponsors couldn't get out of their home country.
But it's major season, and to touch on that, I mean, I guess, well, we got the KPMG.
KPMG, Philadelphia, 3 weeks away.
Hannah Green will definitely be.
Oh, she's been around. She'll be there.
She'll be defending her title, but I'm questioning the U.S. Open if Lee Six is going to make it over, because like you said, she hasn't even teed it up this year over here. So lots of notables still missing from Asia.
Yeah, but let's focus on Portland here. Portland's our next one. If we can get the air quality up there, the girls will tee it up. And
just making conversation, Ron.
Yeah,
it's
a
podcast, bro.
I hear you.
Yeah, so Portland it is, man. You got a long drive ahead of you. We're not going to keep you too long, 20 hours. I'm taking the airplane. I couldn't handle the rig life with you for another 20 hours. No, just kidding, bro.
No problem.
So you got anything else?
I'm trying to think who our defending champ from Portland was last year.
It's not Marina Alex, is it?
No.
Oh, no, it's Hannah Green.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Yes,
all right.
It is.
Shout out to Nate Blasco on the bag. Good old Canadian from out east.
Yeah, she came up towards the end and stole that tournament, if I remember. Somebody else was leading the thing for the longest time. And oh, we had an amateur up there. It was her very first tournament she's ever played in, and then she choked coming down 16, 17. She cut a couple bogeys, and she lost it right there. But the amateurs are playing well. We'll see what happens.
Well, look forward to another good week in Portland, and hopefully those skies clear out for us and the air quality gets good, and or they just give us carts again for the week. Because I'm taking it. If we get carts this week, I should have took it this week. My feet are all battered up. I'm taking a cart, bro.
Yeah, well, you deserve it, I guess.
I don't want to be breathing that shit in, man.
But it definitely sends the rhythm out, you know, because I saw quite a few players. The cart's way up there waiting on the ball. They're calling their caddy back and stuff like that. I did see Austin Ernst and her brother, Drew.
It's been a long week.
Drew was just driving a cart right next to Austin, just at her walking pace, and that was the way you should do it. These other ones would just zoom way up to get the number. By the time they got up there, the number was set.
Oh, Lynn's caddy, Aubrey. I'm like, can you get my number, too, while you're up there? Yeah. Like, come on, give me a break here.
Aubrey was cruising in the cart. That's right.
Yeah, fair enough. They had their cooler pack. Everybody had their big cooler packs, their friggin' snacks. Like, man, whatever. Anyway.
Should not have carts, especially in a major. Maybe in a little Portland camp. I mean, classic, yeah, you can throw some carts out there, but I really think it's not a great idea, especially driving across the fairway and stuff like that. Just not good.
Yeah. Joke, man. Hopefully we don't see that happen again ever.
But so. Hey, all our listeners, thanks for sending in emails. We enjoy getting your word. Just keep it up at letstalkdivots@gmail.com. We'll respond to you guys, but keep them coming. Share the love.
At Let's Talk Divots on all social media platforms. We appreciate you. Ciao for now.
See you in
We're
Portland.
Gonna come at you in Portland.